The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Sounds from the Spires with Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, Music Director of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
And you're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. And today we have two very special guests. They've been on our program before. It's Dr. James Jordan and Sister Christine Helfrich from the Gloria Dei Cantores Choir. And they have a great story for us today about the Arvo Pärt recording they've just done, which has already won awards. And so it's great to have you both here again on the program, Dr. Jim and Sister Chris. How are you both?
Quite good, actually.
It's nice. Thank you.
Nice to get to do this during all of our COVID quarantining, you know?
It's crazy. How have you been dealing with this as your organization, as your choir? Are they able to function as a singing group during this pandemic?
The community is still in enclosure as we've been through this whole time. And we have not been meeting as a whole choir. We have been meeting in small groups with social distancing. So it's been a rather unique time for us, but a time of being able to do a lot of close work with tuning and blending. So I think it's been a very profitable time.
Right. And it's the Gloria Dei Cantores Choir. And Dr. Jim and Sister Chris have been on our program before. Sister Chris is one of the founding members of Gloria Dei Cantores. And Dr. Jim is a well-accomplished organist and accompanist for the group. And this group tours all around the world. This must be really difficult for you not to travel, not to practice together, because you all are a community, not just a choir that meets once a week, but you sing every day for services, for liturgies. So how do you handle your liturgies right now?
Well, for instance, we're on our Sundays, again, we do have our social distancing going on because we have largely, in a way, because we're a Benedictine community, we've kind of quarantined together, if that makes sense.
Right.
So we divide ourselves up by groups so that we're really giving as good attention and obedience to all the governmental mandates that we can to protect everybody. But you're very right. The first day we shut down and no more choir was very strange, you know, because you're right. We do this daily. And so even with the Gregorian offices, because the sisters, you know, live together, they're able in groups to do one of the sets of offices, and the brothers can do one of the sets of offices, but we don't mix.
We're seated with a space in between us, so it's very different.
Wow. And is your community open for public worship? Can people come, or is it still closed?
It's still closed.
Still closed.
Wow, goodness. And Jim, are you playing every day the organ?
Well, tell you what we actually did. We did a whole video series during when everything was so closed called A Gift of Listening. Mm-hmm. And actually between that and then choir members made individual solo recordings during that time for our community to give them, you know, give us daily things to hear. I think we did about 65 recordings during that period of time. So I got my practice in, Jenny, that's it.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was a wonderful way to spend the time. Certainly not expected, but it was great to do.
But before the pandemic, you all were able to do this marvelous recording of the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater. Tell us about that and the great recording, which just won an award recently, number 5 on the Billboard Classical Charts. That's quite an honor. Tell us about that project.
Well, that project has been close to all of our hearts for several years. And in fact, it went over that amount of time in terms of our preparation for this. And I think Sister Chris and I would both practically say the same thing about this. This recording took on a very unique experiential type of thing for us, because Pärt's music, well, you know, Pärt's the most performed classical composer of period in the last 40 years. Well, I think there's reason for that, because this man's music goes so deep and slips beyond anything in your emotions. It's really quite striking. And when you read what he says about his own music and what he did to get it to this point, you know, he comes right out and says, I don't even want to talk about my music because it must speak for itself. Mm-hmm. But the depth that we discovered in working this over the course of a couple of years before really recording it brought us to almost what I would call a relationship with Arvo Pärt.
Wow.
And what he has to say in these texts through this music.
There is such a deep, profound spirituality in his music. And this is something that takes work to find and to absorb. It's not just a quick read at something.
Right.
So it required of us a lot of prayer, a lot of work with the language, especially the prayers, the Nunc Dimittis, the Magnificat, and the Stabat Mater. We worked so hard on the language that he was using and what was being said. For the Stabat Mater, for example, we came up with colors and words for every one of the verses because the verses are divided up in that piece in such a way. And the other thing was that, of course, we worked all this time just getting our own part ready, and we had never heard it with the strings until we were preparing to make the recording. And to hear what the strings brought and realizing what a whole it was an incredible experience.
That's amazing. We're talking about the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater. And with us today are Dr. Jim Jordan and Sister Chris with the Gloria Dei Cantoris Choir in Massachusetts. And they just won number 5 on the Billboard Classical Charts. And for those who may be listening who are general listeners and may not be musicians, Arvo Pärt is a fantastic musician and a composer, obviously. And Dr. Jim just mentioned he's been the most performed composer over the last 40 years. Maybe could one of you tell us a little bit about Arvo Pärt and his style of music, which is not like your Mozart or your Bach, but is a very contemporary and contemplative type of music that, you know, resonates the Russian Orthodox Gregorian chant, with him being an Estonian citizen by birth. Tell us a little bit about Arvo Pärt for those who may not know about him.
Well, as you said, Jenny, he's Estonian by birth. You know, it's interesting. You read about him as a little boy, and like every child, quite, you know, inquisitive and so forth, would bang on the low end and high end of the family piano because the middle range didn't play, you know. And actually, he started working quite young on music lessons. It was interrupted by military service, and then he went back to the same conservatory to work on composition. But it wasn't long into that. It was about 1970, he stopped. And he took a period of what he called silence to really reevaluate what his music was doing, what he was saying. I mean, in 1962, he wrote a 12-tone piece, which is shocking considering he was coming out of an Eastern Bloc country at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What he really started discovering was Gregorian chant and Eastern Orthodox music. And it was during this time, too, that a system of method, really, of composition that he developed called tintinnabulum. And probably best not to try to go into great theoretical discussion of that, but it's a very, very, I would almost call it, sparse, except that has a tad of a negative context to it. And what I'm really trying to say is absolutely every note is completely consequential in the line. And of course, you hear people talk about the Gregorian chant line that he does. And one line is a melody, the other is revolving around the other tune. And they take on very individual characteristics.
It's like the notes of the melody are surrounded with these other pitches. And they envelop this simple line. The other part of his music that is so important is the silence. And there are periods of silence, whole measures, where the music breathes. Our director used the phrase complex simplicity. And I think that's a perfect description of his music.
Yes. The director of the recording and of the choir is Richard Pugsley. Am I saying that right, Pugsley?
That's yes. Right.
Richard Pugsley. And again, this is the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater, which just got number 5 on the Billboard Classical charts. But maybe we can take a listen to some of the recording, which we'll talk about later, how they can get a copy, the listeners. This is the first track on the recording, Peace Upon You, Jerusalem. We'll just take a little listen to that.
Oh,
And you just listen to Labe Agaton. And right before the break, you listen to Peace Upon You, Jerusalem, which is on the Arvo Pärt recording, Stabat Mater, performed by Gloria de Cantores and conducted by Richard Pugsley. And we're talking today with Sister Chris and Dr. Jim from Gloria de Cantores here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic channel of Sirius XM 129. And congratulations to you both, to all of you, for this fantastic recording. And I understand it may be nominated for being a Grammy Award. Is that possible?
Well, we hope. Honestly, both of us are looking at each other saying, well, that would be delightful, but don't really know.
Yeah, but it's a great recording. And you mentioned, Sister Chris, about the silence, how that's important in Arvo Pärt's music. But I guess as Benedictines, your life revolves around that, pausing and silence and then
yes.
Music.
It's so much part of Gregorian chant.
Yes. Yeah, that's amazing. And gosh, I've had you both on the program so many times, and it's nice now to be able to see you for those listening.
I know.
Nice to see you too.
We're doing this via Zoom because of the pandemic, but it's been a great thing to be able to see my guests. And now I finally see what you look like, Sister Chris. So nice to see you.
Now you know why I'm one of the founding members of the choir.
And you're also, I understand, a fantastic singer and a soloist, so good for you.
Uh-huh.
And that your whole life revolves around music and you're able to use it during liturgy every day and concertizing and touring the world, and so good for you. Vocation, it's a great thing. And Dr. Jim, of course, is an accomplished organist, has also performed around the world, Russia, we've talked about this before, but all over the place, and you all have been to so many countries. And did you have something this summer that you were going to do in terms of travel? Were you going to travel as a group?
We didn't have travel plans this summer, but we would have had larger work performances with orchestra right here in the church on the Cape. But of course, that was just simply out of the question. Mm-hmm. Now, we will have an organ dedication coming up in December, but it still remains to be seen whether or not that's going to be able to be open for the public. We're going to plan like it can be, but, you know, we see when we get there.
Right. Tell us about your instrument.
Well, actually, the organ that's in the church has been in development, construction, and installation now for 26 years. It actually has been put by Nelson Barden and Associates. Nelson has done an incredible job with this vision of restoration of the work of Ernest Skinner. Mm-hmm. And so we just recently got in here the final console. It will have about 150 ranks of pipes in it. And the wonderful thing about the instrument is this is a silicon form building. And the organ chambers stretch down both side aisles, about 100 feet of chamber on either side.
Wow.
So as my father-in-law, who is a physicist, says, it's like sitting on the inside of the organ. And it really is. You feel enveloped. But again, that's the concept behind the organ, is actually that the entire building would sing, that the entire building has a voice.
Right.
It's actually quite thrilling now to see this start to come to its completion.
Yeah. Well, I hope that your dedication does happen in December, so.
Yeah, believe me, we're aiming there.
Is that going to be virtual as well as in person?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. We haven't gotten that far yet. Uh-huh. So I'll make sure to put that in my notes the next time the committee meets.
Yeah, that would be cool to see the organ for those who are not able to be there or who may not even know about your community, just to get the word out.
You can actually go on our YouTube channel and you can see the videos that we've made.
Okay.
You can go to the Church of the Transfiguration in Orleans, Massachusetts, and go to the website. And there's actually a link to the videos called A Gift of Listening. Mm-hmm. And you'll see all kinds of pictures of the church and of the organ.
Fantastic.
There are beautiful close-ups of all the art in the church. So you're hearing the sound and you're getting a virtual tour at the same time with some great close-ups.
So Church of the Transfiguration, go onto their YouTube, just put it into YouTube, Church of the Transfiguration, and you can see that. And also too, if you want to know more about the Gloria Dei Cantores, go to gdcchoir.org. And gosh, yes. You can see everything they've done, all the recordings, the countries they've performed in, and all the things they accomplished. And they've done so many things over, you know, the last few decades. So great work to all of you. When do you think that you all would be able to get back together again and do things big scale? Or is that just nothing in the
We just don't know, you know, because again, our restrictions are such here that I don't know exactly where they are, what they are in New York, but we're just simply not able to do that in any size group yet.
No, that's right.
And we've been very, very fortunate up here. But feel that's very much because people, all you have to do is go uptown. Everyone's masked. Nobody's complaining about it. And I think we're all beneficiaries of people being quite strict about these compliance. So we'll just keep hanging on this way until something shifts. I wish I knew, believe me. We're all chomping at the bit to get started again.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking with Dr. Jim and Sister Chris and the wonderful recording that has come out recently, the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater. And with his harmonic language, how much more work did that take for your choir? Or is that something that they're already accustomed to doing?
There was an exactitude that music required that we try to bring to all music, but because his music is so transparent, nothing can be hidden. I don't know how else.
You simply can't monkey around with intonation. You just can't do it. Just to put it in plain old layman's terms, that you have to go after that. You know, Mary Berry, the great chant scholar, you know, used to talk about this, and she used to say with a bit of a wry smile on her face, you know, anyone can sing polyphony, but unison singing is really hard. And, you know, it's interesting, the Pärt recording brought that home to us in a very different way, because the level of blend that you have to work at is incredible. And of course, we talk about this with chant all the time, Jenny, you know, because we live together and we bump elbows, as it were, so often, we have pretty honest relationships with each other and fairly and long-lasting friendships. And that also very much affects what we do. I mean, our daily life comes into that sound. So if we walk in the door and somebody says, you know what, that email you sent me last night really bugged me. And so we laugh about it, but it is something that we do live that. And that is part of what you hear in the blend of the sound and the clarity of the pitch. And again, as Mary Berry used to say, the center of pitch is where the truth of the music actually lives. And that's no more apparent than in the music of Arvo Pärt. It just is. You hear that. And also, even when you add in strings and with the organ, the transparency of the organ part, particularly when you listen to the Salve Regina, uses very interesting combinations like single four-foot flutes in the top octave, creating almost kind of a raindrop effect. I mean, there's fascinating things that he does. But again, clarity is the real key.
Yeah, well said. And Dr. Jim or Sister Chris, how can people get this recording? Is it on Amazon or iTunes?
Oh yeah, all of the electronic platforms. You can go to Spotify. I was listening to Spotify this morning. You can go to Amazon.com. You can look them up. You can also go to gdcrecordings.com,
yes,
and that will take you right to the recording site itself. You can order from there. So those are all possible. That's why you can get physical CDs as well as download the individual tracks.
Yeah. Has your group been to Estonia?
No, we haven't been through I don't believe we have.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know how boundaries change and so forth.
That's why we paused.
That's why we paused, because I don't think we've been through an area even where the boundary, the borders had changed, that would have been considered Estonian.
Yeah, that would be cool if you could perform Arvo Pärt's work in Estonia.
Oh, believe me, we've thought about it. So, you know, when the day the gates, quote, as it were, open again, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened at some point.
Yeah. And we're talking with Dr. Jim and Sister Chris from Gloria Dei Cantoris. We're talking about the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater, which you can get on, again, all the electronic platforms, and as well as gdcrecordings.com, GDC standing for Gloria Dei Cantoris, which is the wonderful choir that is on this recording. And there is a little bit of organ in one of those movements, at least. The Salve Regina, Jim, is that you playing?
That's me playing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And what do you think was harder for the choir, to sing the a cappella movements or the movements that were actually with the instruments?
That's an interesting question, because I think they posed some different challenges,
yes,
actually. Because when it came to singing like the Stabat Mater, you had both a cappella sections, strings only, and then intertwine.
In combination, yes.
And so you really... it's not that you were changing your tone, but you had to be aware of who you were interacting with when, because each voice had such specific types of characterization. For instance, when Sister Chris was talking about one melody and other pitches surrounding, that's the tintinnabulation. The thing about Pärt is that's constantly shifting depending on what he's bringing out in a particular text. Meanwhile, you have a third voice that might be breaking up the word in an almost Hockett-like fashion between voices. And so then, that happens in the Salve Regina as well. And then all of a sudden, you're into an organ interlude that literally, it just jumps into it. And then it's right back out. And of course, it gives a chance in that piece. He also calls for very warm string colors, which we have a lot of, and which is a nice way to be able to use that type of expression. And on the Salve Regina, that's actually his original version. He did another version where he reorchestrated that, but the original was with organ choir. Go ahead.
Another interesting point is that the vocal parts for the Stabat Mater, soprano, alto, and tenor, no bass.
Wow.
And so the foundation was, in a way, missing when we work with just the choral parts. The cello adds the bass to the string part, so there is that bass line, but there are times when it is not playing. So there's this constant undulation, I would almost say, of single pitch, two pitches, three pitches, and then times when the whole string group is playing with all the voicing. It's incredible. That work there, it's hard to find words to describe it. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience to sing it, and it is an experience to listen to it.
Yes. Yeah. And we're talking with Dr. Jim and Sister Chris, and they are from Gloria Dei Cantoris, and we're talking about the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater. So now perhaps we can listen to a little bit of the Salve Regina movement from the Stabat Mater.
Amen.
And we just listened to a little bit of the Magnificat movement from Arvo Pärt's Stabat Mater. And before the break, we listened to a little bit of the Salve Regina from the same recording, which is available on all the electronic platforms as well as gdcrecordings.com. And this group, Gloria Dei Cantores, conducted by Richard Pugsley, won number 5 on the Billboard Classical Charts for this great recording. And gosh, I hope you all do get a Grammy for this because it's great work.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And you've done so many recordings. You've toured all around the world. I know the wheels are always turning. Are you already conceiving a new recording, or had you been working on a recording before the pandemic hit?
We hadn't been actually working on a recording per se, but we have a long-standing relationship with Samuel Adler.
Uh-huh.
And we did a recording a number of years ago called A Prophecy of Peace, which was all of his choral music. And now we're working on other choral works of his, which, you know, somewhere down the line will possibly end up as a recording.
Have you considered doing any kind of virtual choral singing? Like, I think you've seen other choirs doing this kind of Zoom or rectangular choir.
We've talked about it off and on, but decided that for the time being, that actually we'd like to do what we're doing in the small groups. And that actually has given the instrumentalists in our community a chance to dive in, up their skills, and use what they do as part of the worship, because actually we can get a harpsichord and a clarinet going, or a trumpet, and small groups that way. So we've kind of taken advantage of the time a little bit differently.
Yeah. Is your mass or any of your services, your liturgies, broadcast for the public, from the community?
Actually, no. We don't live stream any of our liturgies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a normal day outside of the pandemic, what would your attendance be like at mass on a Sunday?
Well,
During the summer, we might, if you don't count the members of the Benedictine Community of Jesus to begin with, we've had upwards of 100, 200 guests on, you know, when at the height of tourist season. We're right on Rock Harbor in Orleans, which Rock Harbor has the largest sport fishing fleet on the East Coast. So you can imagine the number of people in the parking lot. I mean, on July 4th, there's 10,000 people watching the fireworks.
And it's also one of the few places on the East Coast where you can watch the sunset. It's a beautiful spot, and we have a lot of visitors coming to see that as well.
Do either of you fish?
Only on rare occasion. It's fun to go out on one of those boats. I think I've been here 33 years. I think I've been out three times, so my average isn't so great.
And mine is the same. About three trips over 40 years.
Goodness. And how many people are in the Gloria Dei Cantores Choir?
About 35 people total.
Whenever you go on tour different countries, do you take all 45 people with you?
No, actually, sometimes depending on the occasion, we'll take smaller groups over to Europe. Plus, we also want to be able to have people still conducting services here at home. So it gives we have a choir going here at home as well.
Yeah. I assume that both of you go on every single trip abroad.
Not necessarily.
No, it really depends on what the needs are.
Uh-huh.
I've actually done both. I've been part of the group stayed home and part of the group that went.
Okay. So somebody has to stay behind then, I guess, to take care of the liturgies when the group travels, right?
Yes, because worship is important to keep going. And to provide the beauty of that for the home group as well.
Right. Yeah. So I guess 365 days out of the year, you have liturgies going, right?
Well, normally we do, but not right now.
So how less are you doing than you would normally do on a normal schedule?
I can talk to you about our Gregorian chant services. We traditionally do four a day, Mondays through Fridays, and then have choral evensong on Saturdays. And then Sunday, we have lauds and vespers, as well as the Sunday Eucharist. Right now, we have only the sisters doing lauds. The brothers are chanting vespers. So we're not doing it together. And the small services have been let go at this time. We're doing more personal prayer.
Yeah. So the small groups that you have together, then how many people would you have together in a small group to rehearse?
Yeah. Well, the ones that we did since like this afternoon, we'll both be going to rehearsals with eight people in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our max out number is eight. And we sit miles apart.
Exactly.
And then what do you cover with those eight people? Liturgical stuff, new music?
Actually, that's where we're covering the new music right now. And we're looking at the possibility of doing, you know, something in a few weeks where a small group might take on a service and do an anthem or something like that.
Right.
But certainly nothing full blown, you know?
Yeah.
We're taking it very slowly and carefully.
Maybe we can stop to take a little bit of a listen to the Nunc Dimittis movement. And I encourage you to go onto the Gloria Dei Cantores website to find out a lot more about them. But we're talking about the Arvo Pärt Stabat Mater, and this is a little bit of the Nunc Dimittis movement.
Thank you.
And that was a little bit of the Nunc Dimittis movement of the Stabat Mater of Arvo Pärt, which won number 5 on the Billboard classical charts. And we've been talking to Dr. Chris, Sister Chris and Dr. Jim from the Gloria Dei Cantores. And they've been gracious to come onto the program many times. And so every single time, it's always something great, something new and fresh. And gosh, it just is a great testament to the great work that you all do up there. And everybody needs to know about you. So good work.
Well, Jenny, you need to come up and visit.
Exactly.
How far are you from Boston?
90 miles, door to door.
Door to door, okay. Yeah.
And we're not too far from you as the crow flies.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad train ride if you want to go even into Providence and then drive over. Again, it's 90 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we've been talking again to Dr. Jim and Sister Chris about the Arvo Pärt recording of the Stabat Mater. Estonian composer, wonderful recording, an experience, not just something to listen to, but it's an experiential, that's not the right word, experience of listening. And gosh, I look forward to your next recording, whenever that may be, and hopefully that'll be sooner than later with the pandemic happening, but good for you to keep rehearsing and keeping the liturgies going in your community. They're a Benedictine community up in Orleans, Massachusetts. Go onto their website, gdcchoir.org, to find out more about them at Church of the Transfiguration. And you can see some YouTube clips there. If you go to YouTube and put in Church of the Transfiguration, you can find out more about them and hear things as well. But I encourage you to go get that Arvo Pärt recording, Stabat Mater, and you can go to any of the electronic platforms and onto gdcrecordings.com to get that recording as well. But I thank you both, Dr. Jim and Sister Chris. I just conferred upon you an honorary doctorate. But you're both great to always be on my program and sharing your talents and the wonderful music that happens up there. So thank you so much, both of you, for being on the program today.
Well, thank you. It's nice to actually get to see you while we talk this time.
Exactly. So thanks to Dr. Jim and Sister Chris. And to Robert, who's doing all the engineering here. And we'll finish out the hour today by listening to a little bit of the Stabat Mater movement, glorious movement. It's over 20 minutes, and I wish we could play the whole thing, but you'll just have to get the recording. Arvo Pärt's Stabat Mater. Thank you again, both of you. And we'll see you next week on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic channel of Sirius XM 129. Have a great week.